Yes.
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 Okay. Well, good morning, church.
Morning. Happy Sabbath.
Happy Sabbath to you. So good to see you. As you can see, I'm a church.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And I just have all of you, all your faces right in front of me. So I'm very happy. I'm thrilled, you know, that God has kept all of us safe. And I know he will continue protecting us and giving us the strength, because I know it's not easy. It hasn't been easy for most of you, or I will probably say it for everybody, including myself. It's not that easy to be at home all the time. But I know, and you know, we're praying that this will come to an end. And it seems like that the end of this tunnel, it's coming to an end, and we could see the light. So we praise God for that. Before we start with our message for this morning, I would like to give you maybe a few seconds so that you could grab your Bibles, okay? Grab your Bibles. I give you a few seconds. I have my Bible here with me, okay? So, but I want to give you some time at this moment so that you could grab your Bible. And for those that actually have your Bibles with you at this moment, I would like for you to turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 24. So book of Matthew, chapter 24. Our message comes actually from that chapter, Matthew 24. So I will give another maybe 5-10 seconds, okay, for those of you. I see some of you got up, and I think some of you are trying to see your secret place where you have hidden your Bibles. Okay, I know some of you have it electronically. I do have it electronically here in my iPad. Okay, so, but if some of you would like to actually grab your hard copy of your Bible, you know, this is the time. So make sure you look for it. And so for those that actually just recently got the Bible, I said, turn to Matthew chapter 24. And that's where our message come this morning. Well, let's bow for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for another beautiful day. But this is not just a regular day, Lord. This is your day. This is the day of the Lord. This is the Sabbath. And we want to thank you, Father, because you give us the means to worship you, even through these times of crisis, Father. We thank you for technology, that we are able through that, Father, to gather together through virtual screens, and we're able to worship you, Lord, and we are able to see each other. And I thank you, Lord, because you're keeping us safe. But now as we transition, Lord, to our study for this hour, divine hour, Father, we ask that you, through the power of the Holy Spirit, may give us that inspiration, may give us the discernment, Father, to be able to understand. So we want to ask, Lord, that you speak through us, Father, through your words. In Jesus' name, I pray.
Amen.
Amen. My brothers and sisters, as you know, we have come to the frightening moment in history when everywhere we look, there are signs or warnings flashing that actually give us reason for concern. Deep within the hearts of men and women everywhere, these questions come. And I'm pretty sure, you know, this kind of question will resonate with your questions as well. How we come to the end of civilization, that's what a lot of people are asking at this time. Is this the last generation to live on planet Earth? How will it end? Do we just have to sit and wait for that inescapable, or is there hope for permanent solution to the crisis we are facing now? You see, Jesus, the one who knows the future, has clearly revealed to us the signs and the warnings so that all men have that opportunity of knowing when the end will take place. Jesus did not give us that exact date of hour of his coming, but he did indeed give us signs for that intellectual mind to understand, for the wise student to know, and also for the Bible-believing Christians can know which generation is actually to be the last. See, one day, as Jesus was leaving the temple, his disciples came and warned, and actually, they actually came to him, and they actually wanted to take him on a tour of the temple. And looking at the magnificent golden dome temple, Jesus said to them, and here we are, Matthew chapter 24, verse 2. Jesus said, "Do you not see all these things? Assuredly I said to you, not one stone should be left here upon another that should not be thrown down." Now, in verse 3, he continues saying, "Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, 'Tell us, when will these things be? And what will the signs of your coming and of the end of age?'" Now, when will Jerusalem be destroyed? They ask. "When will the temple be overthrown? Tell us, when should these things be?" See, the disciples did not know Jesus was actually talking about two events: the overthrowing of the temple of Jerusalem by Titus, and the second coming of Christ. See, they inquire him by asking, "What should be the signs of the coming and the end of the world?" So the disciples were interested in the same way that you and I are interested, actually, to know. See, they ask, "What is the sign of the end of the world?" Aren't you interesting also, my brothers and sisters, to know that? What are the signs that precede the end? Could it be that we are living in the last generation? Could it be that Jesus is to come in our lifetime, that our eyes are to see the King? See, Matthew 24 is actually Christ's answer to this question. So it is Jesus' own description of world events just before the end. His message contained warnings, light flashed on the instrument panel of the world. These signs are actually indicating the end of the time. So the end of the time had actually come. So let's look at the signs that Jesus himself gave us. So let's go to verse now 4 and 5. Look at what he says. "And Jesus answered and said to them, 'Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many.'" See, one of the signs that Jesus gave of the end of time was confusion in the religious world. He said that there will be many who will arise at the scene in the last days of earth history, pretending, in other words, to be Christ. See, this false Christ or Messiahs will deceive many. The scripture says in Matthew, in verse actually 11, in the same chapter, the scripture says that then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. See, the last days will be described by voices coming from different directions, from different parts of the religious world. Some will say, "This is the way." Others will say, "Follow me." And yet another will probably say, "I am a voice from heaven." So there will be many people, my brothers and sisters, claiming to be Christ. There will be many claiming to be prophets in the last days. So if we go a little bit farther on verse 24, this verse actually puts together the concept of verse 5 and 6. Because it says, for false Christ and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive. If possible, it says, even they will deceive that elect. Now, in this verse, the false Christ and false prophets will almost deceive the very elect. In the last day, we will expect a rise of false religions. Many new religious leaders will come claiming to be divine, claiming to be the Messiah, claiming to be the reincarnation of Christ, showing signs and wonders. This escalating growth, my brothers and sisters, of new religions will be a sign that we are living right down at the end of time, all around the world. And ever-growing numbers of groups are appearing, claiming to be the followers of someone they say is Christ. See, the Bible says that in the last day, many will arise claiming to be Christ. And so we can expect to see a revival of interest in all kinds of religions in the last days. You see, it is not that the last days wouldn't be described by religion. It is rather than that in the last day, there will be a revival of false religions. Are we living right down in the end of time? Is the question that many ask. Do we see people being or claiming, or do we see people as false Christ and false prophets? See, Jesus said, claiming to be divine, he says that these people will be claiming to be divine, claiming to be Christ, claiming to have the message from God. Now, did Jesus actually say that these false Christ and false prophets will have signs hanging around maybe their necks and saying, I am a false Christ, I am a false prophet? Of course not, my brothers and sisters, because the enemy will try to deceive us. So if we noticed, Jesus says, these false prophets will show great signs, great wonders, undeniable miracles, in so much that if it's possible, in other words, they will deceive the very elect. Now, the question that many ask, who are the elect? Who are these people? See, the elect are God's people, in other words. The deception is the last day. In the last days will be so overwhelming, I should say, that even God's people, unless their minds are actually rooted in the scripture, my brothers and sisters, they will be misled. And that includes us, my brothers and sisters. If our attention is not actually concentrated on the divine scripture, my brothers, you and I will also be deceived. You and I will actually be misled by these deceivers. So the last days, Jesus said, will be described even by political conflicts. Here's another sign that is revealed in Matthew 24, verse 6. Look, and actually, we could read it also. Verse 7, look at what it says, Matthew 24. Now verse 6 and 20, and actually verse 6 and 7. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. Yes, Jesus looked into the future from his day and foresaw the crisis of our generation. See, the signs of Christ coming are clearly outlined in the prophecies of Scripture. Every year, my brothers and sisters, in the past decades, if you haven't noticed, wars and conflicts have exploded in various parts of our world. Every single year, this country spends billions and billions of dollars worldwide on weapons and defense. So Jesus said that in the last days of earth history, the warning lights at this war will flash all across the instrument panel of the planet Earth. So he said, in the last days of earth history, one of these warnings will be war and rumors of war. That man will be afraid, in other words, to listen to the Bible description. People will be afraid. Men will be afraid because of all these rumors of war. See, in Luke chapter 21, verse 6, the Bible also tells us that man's heart failing, then from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. See, this is a glance, actually, my brothers and sisters, a war affairs, a real serious trouble in the Middle East, Asia, Africa, you name it. As we look around the world, the restless, strained relations between nations indicate that Christ indeed accurately foretold our days. And if we go back again to Matthew 24, verse 6, and you will hear wars and rumors of wars. That's what the Bible said. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end, the Bible said, is not yet. See, my brothers and sisters, I ask you, are we living at this time when Christ's words are accurately being fulfilled before our eyes? Are we at that time? Indeed, in this hour, when upon the earth there is a lot of distress in this nation, when upon earth there is confusion, yes, Christ's prophecies in Matthew 24, my brothers and sisters, are being fulfilled before our eyes. So let's wake up. See, someone asked, haven't there always been wars and rumors of wars? How could it be that conflicts between nations is a sign of the end of this world? The history of mankind does not reveal that there has always, or I probably correct myself, I probably said that yes, history of mankind has revealed that there has always been wars and rumors of wars. There are two points of significance, my brothers and sisters, to carefully note. First, an isolated experience of war does not constitute a sign of the times. Rather, today war is so commonplace and so widespread that this restless, strained relations between nations actually infuse society. See, in the book of Revelation, Jesus speaking through the prophets, or actually revealing to the prophet John, said that he will return. And in Revelation 11:18, he said that when that happened, he said, he will destroy those who destroy the earth. That's what the Bible says. See, never before in history, my brothers and sisters, of mankind, has the human race had the power, the ability actually to destroy life on this planet. And I believe you're seeing that. So we can empty our cities and scrape the crust of our planet and blast our habitation into a spinning globe of ash. We have the capability, man has the power at this time, my brothers and sisters, to destroy this planet. So this is a unique moment in history that we're living in. See, the Bible also, in 1 Thessalonians, we are told that a time of ever-increasing war and conflict, there will be talk of peace. So the fact of war and the talk of peace combined constitute, my brothers and sisters, a sign of the last generation. See what 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3 says. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they should not escape. See, all men's plans are transitory, my brothers and sisters. While the ink is still wet on the documents of peace, there are new attempts in the directions of war. See, one person that actually that used to be in the United Nations, he was a diplomat, put it this way, describing actually man's veins to attend world peace. He said, "We have tried so hard, but we fail so miserably." See, my brothers and sisters, yes, there's going to be rumors of war. We are already experiencing that. We have been involved in wars, and yet they're still talking about peace and peace and peace. But at the same time, while they're talking about peace, they're preparing for war. So those are the signs, my brothers and sisters, that Jesus was describing, that Jesus was foretelling us that these kind of things were going to happen in the last days. Now we go to Matthew chapter 24 again, verse 7. Because there are other signs that Jesus actually described. Verse 7 actually he said, "For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places." Yes, Jesus said that some of the signs of the time in the last day of earth history will be famines, pestilences, earthquakes. In other words, there will be chaos, disaster all over this planet, my brothers and sisters. So famine has become an ever-present presence in our life. And according to the worldometer, that info, and you could check this out, worldometer, actually, that info, as of today, there are about, they inform, 7.8 billion people on the face of this planet. Some of them clawing at one another for living spaces. For instance, Bangladesh, a country the size of Florida, has more than 161 million people competing for living space. India's population is more than 1.3 billion, and about, my brothers and sisters, a billion of them are actually malnourishers, or like a lot of them are actually starving. So in parts of Africa, my brothers and sisters, the drought is so severe that it's actually threatened that livelihood or the livelihood of more than 9 million people. And some experts believe that tens of thousands have actually starved to death or die of malnutrition as a result of this unprecedented drought. See, Jesus also prophesies there will be pestilences. Today, pestilences afflict men, animals, and even crops. See, pestilences actually destroy food and produces, my brothers and sisters, world famine. This is why Jesus placed famine and pestilence together. See, the pestilences of cancers afflict millions of people today. See, there are over 100 kinds of cancer. And it is spreading like an epidemic all over the world. See, medical science, my brothers and sisters, have not been able to find a cure of this deadly disease. AIDS, another pestilence that had occurred for many, many, many years. And other diseases, my brothers, are actually spreading like wildfire around the world. And recently, within the past months, my brothers and sisters, we have been facing the pestilence of coronavirus, COVID-19, a world pandemic that so far, according to the records, so far it has infected over 2.2 million people around the world and had actually killed over 151,000 and still counting. So my brothers and sisters, we are living in the last days. This is what Jesus prophesied. This is what Jesus told the disciples. But also Jesus prophesies in Matthew 24:7, and there will be earthquakes, he said, in various places. So think about it. Earthquakes has increased dramatically during the last, I'd probably say, 50 years. More than 3,000 major earthquakes are annually recorded, and over a million lesser ones are also being recorded. See, planet Earth shakes are growing worse and worse, my brothers and sisters. Earth's crust has been stabilized, or I should say destabilized, actually, since the time of the flood. See, the Bible says that our world is waxing old. Continental plates are actually shifting. Geological faults are moving. Earthquakes are inevitable. And all are signs, my brothers and sisters, of the end. Nature is actually shattering under the heavy load of sin. We live on a fragile planet called Earth. Soon the greatest earthquakes of all time will occur at the end of the seventh plague. This is what the Bible mentions in the book of Revelation. Then Jesus suddenly appears, right? And all the warnings, lights in the physical world said we are at the last generation. We must prepare, my brothers and sisters, you and I, we must prepare to meet Jesus. Jesus also, my brothers and sisters, went on describing our time in the book of Matthew. It's so clear. We have been reading it. Matthew 24. Now let's jump all the way to verse 37 and 39. Look at what verse 37 and 39 says. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And it's what's interesting, my brothers and sisters, is what follows. Because in verse 39 it says, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. See, what does this mean that they didn't know? They had opportunity to know, my brothers and sisters. Noah had preached of the flood for 120 years. Doesn't that relate to you? As you became a Seventh-day Adventist, we have heard, maybe for those that have been born in the church, we have heard about this. We're at the end of the day. The end is coming. So the same was happening in the days of Noah. Noah had preached of the flood for 120 years, but they rejected his preaching. Isn't that what's happening right now? People are rejecting, my brothers and sisters, this message. These prophecies, it is possible to be conditioned, my brothers and sisters, by the signs of the times all around us. With the rise of false Christ and false prophets, with wars and rumors of wars, with earthquakes, with pestilences and famines that will fail to discern in the signs of the return of Jesus. How we fail, my brothers and sisters, is the question. Have we failed to acknowledge these signs? Have we become so accustomed to the things of this world that we ignore these warnings and rely on man's solutions? Have we allow ourselves in the midst of these warnings to become so familiar with them that we have fallen asleep? See, Jesus said that world conditions will be like it was in the day of Noah. What was it like in the day of Noah? Oh, in the days of Noah, my brothers and sisters. See, in the book of Genesis, it tells us how it was during the days of Noah. To be precise, Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. Let's read what it says. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. Then the Lord saw that the wicked of men was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thought of this heart was only evil continually. So Noah's days were described by violence, my brothers and sisters, crime and lawlessness. Even a quick glance at the headlines today is enough to enable us to recognize, my brothers and sisters, that we are again living in an age of corruption. We are living in an age of violence, immorality. Speaking of moral conditions that actually describe these cities, actually Paul, in the book of Romans, if we go to Romans chapter 1, verse 26 and 27, look at how Paul describes this. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also, the Bible says, the men leaving the natural use of the woman burn into their lust for one another. Men with men committing what is shameful. See, time, my brothers and sisters, is running out. The things that call for the destruction of the antediluvian world exist today. Yes, the book of Genesis reminds us that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart, of man's heart, was only evil. And it continues because it gives you another word. Because it doesn't say that the heart was going to stop being evil. Because it says that the thought of the man's heart was only evil continually. So it will not stop until the end. So, my brothers and sisters, Jesus predicted that in the last days of earth history, crime will be widespread as well as immorality. We see that all over it. Everywhere you go, not just in our country here, but also everywhere in every other country, you will see, my brothers and sisters, the increment of crime. And it's all widespread all over the world. Immorality, you'll see that everywhere. Jesus said in Luke chapter 21, verse 26, look at what it says. Men's heart failing them from fear and the expectation of these things which are coming on the earth. So look around. Almost every house, my brothers and sisters, there is fear all over. You could walk in your neighborhoods. You could look at each house. And you will see that almost every house, almost every building is set up with security cameras. Because people live in fear. Crimes all over. Robbery all over. And that's not even enough. Cameras are not even enough, my brothers and sisters, to keep us safe, to keep us secure. Why? Because we are living in a time when fear fills the hearts of men and women everywhere. See, in the book of Luke, God reveals dramatic signs in the physical world that will precede the coming of Jesus Christ. He said, the same verse, chapter 21 of Luke, verse 26, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. So planet Earth is stormed by a cosmic controversy, my brothers and sisters. The great controversy between good and evil, between Christ and Satan. This battle has been raging fiercely since Satan waged war in heaven and was cast down to this earth. Since the crucifixion of Christ, Satan, my brothers and sisters, we know that Satan is defeated. However, as a prince of the power of the air, he continues his battle relentlessly, which he said, as he knows his time is short. And Jesus, my brothers and sisters, is soon to return. Jesus is soon to liberate mankind. But there are other signs. We were reading about what Jesus' description of the signs were going to be. But there are also, he describes signs, heavenly signs. The ones we went over are basically like earthly signs. But then he described heavenly signs as well. Let's go back to Matthew 24, verse 29 now. Look at what it says in verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven will be shaken. See, Jesus predicted that there will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars. Notice the sequence of events after the heavenly signs. First comes false Christ, false prophets, followed by pestilences and worldwide earthquakes. However, do we know we are living in the last days? That is the question. Because our civilization and world conditions have directly followed these three heavenly signs, my brothers and sisters. Someone said, wait, we see worldly signs, but have the heavenly signs preceded them? The answer to that is yes. And secularly, like in the secular, actually, history, it affirms that fact. It tells us that, yes, these heavenly signs preceded our present generation. See, the sun was darkened on May 19, 1780. The moon refused to shine the same night. And the stars actually fell from heaven on November 13, 1883. See, if you know the sequence occurred as Christ predicted, and you could actually read this, in the Western Dictionary, in the 1869 edition, it says, on May 19, 1780, the sun rose as usual, but by mid-morning, it began to get dark. The cattle came home, and the chickens went to roost. Farmers returned from their fields, and the lamps had to be lighted. That night, it continues saying, the moon appeared as red as blood, just as Jesus has prophesied. 53 years later, on November 13, 1833, the greatest star shower ever recorded in history occurred. Falling meteors streak through the sky from Maine all the way to Mexico. People said they had no difficulty reading the newspaper all night without lighting a candle, according to the American Journal of Science and Art, volume edition of 1834. See, many people had observed and estimated there were at least 200,000 meteors streaking through the sky per hour. Again, people feared the end of the world was approaching. Abraham Lincoln is quoted saying, no, it is not the end of the world. The great constellations are still there. So, my brothers and sisters, we recognize that all of these signs are shouting that we are living in Earth's last hour. But we should not panic. That's what that encouragement is in Luke 20, 21, verse 28. Look at what the Bible says. Now when these things begin to happen, look up, the Bible says. Lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. Beyond all doubt, my brothers and sisters, Jesus is coming soon. It is almost closing time for our present world. When Christ steps over the threshold of eternity into the arena of human affairs, Then he will solve all the problems that mankind cannot solve. And Christ will rescue our world from disaster.
Amen.
Church family, are you ready for Jesus to come? Jesus is longing to deliver his children from his planet.
Amen.
See, God is calling us not to be afraid of what the future holds. And he also reminds us that men cannot save themselves. Man cannot save us from destruction or death. Regardless of our sinful nature, my brothers and sisters, it is good to recognize that Jesus is pleading with us to let him have control of our hearts. He wants to rescue us from this dying planet. So, beloved, don't be satisfied with what this world offers to you. While empty mansions, while that beautiful place, while that perfect place that Jesus is actually preparing for all of us is there just for you and for me to enjoy. So nothing else really matters, my brothers and sisters. The most important question is, are you ready for Jesus' return? So do not be afraid. Do not be afraid what the future holds. Do not be afraid for tomorrow. We know that these things are going to happen. So let's not panic. These were prophecies. And as a matter of fact, my brothers and sisters, we should be happy, because the prophecies is actually fulfilling what the Word of God is telling us is actually true. So that means that we should be encouraged, my brothers and sisters, that there is a better place to come. There is something better to come. Yes, Jesus, the same Jesus, my brothers and sisters, that actually died on the cross for you and I. The same Jesus that 3 days later rose again. The same Jesus, my brothers and sisters, that ascended to heaven, and he promised that he will go to heaven to prepare a place for you and I. A place, my brothers and sisters, a wonderful, wonderful place. Are you ready? Are you prepared for this place? Maybe my question should be, are you ready to give your heart to Jesus? Are you ready to surrender all to Jesus? Are you ready to fix your eyes in Jesus? Are you ready to follow your master? Are you prepared? Is your family prepared? Are your loved ones prepared? Are the people near you prepared? Are your neighbors prepared? Are your co-workers prepared? Are your friends prepared, my brothers and sisters? It would only take a surrender heart, a heart pardoned by the blood of Jesus. There is not a moment to lose, my brothers and sisters. Time is almost over. So my invitation for you this morning is, won't you lift your heart to God right now and ask him to help you prepare for Christ's soon return? Are you preparing? Are you doing your part? See, nothing that we read in the Bible will mean anything if you and I do nothing. So it is time, my brothers and sisters, for us not just to read the Bible. It is time for us as well to prepare ourselves. It is time for us to share this message of hope, because that's what it is, my brothers and sisters. Prophecies is actually a message of hope. Prophecies is actually Jesus revealed. Prophecy, my brothers and sisters, is not for us to be afraid. It's for us to be hopeful. It's for us to get ready. It's for us to wake up. It's for us, my brothers and sisters, to prepare our families and to be ready for Jesus' soon return. May God bless you. May God bless your families. May God bless all those people around you. I know God is a loving God, my brothers and sisters. God is a God that gives us opportunity. Most likely, we were asleep, my brothers and sisters. Most likely, we were not prepared. But let this be an awakening for all of us. Let this be a sign for all of us, my brothers and sisters, that first, you and I need to be prepared. And that we need to also deliver this message, share this message with people around us. God bless you. And God keep you safe. My prayer is, when Jesus comes, my brothers and sisters, you and I will be there. Amen. We'll be ready to wait for Jesus and to take off and be part of that world that Jesus, our Lord and Savior, has prepared for you and I. Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for your Holy Scripture. Oh, Father, we have learned through the reading of the Sabbath School, Father, that for Jesus, the Holy Scripture, everything that was written, Father, from the prophets in the Old Testament, He took that as an authority. He took that as a guidance for us, Lord. And He encouraged all of us to follow that. For Jesus, the Holy Scripture, the Word of God, was the ultimate authority. And He followed it. He set an example for all of us, Lord. For all of us to be mindful. For all of us to keep reading. For all of us, Father, to be connected with our Lord and Savior. For all of us, Father, not just to keep what we learn, not just to keep what the Holy Spirit is telling us, what the Holy Spirit is guiding us, but also to share with those that are without hope. Oh, yes, Father, we are living in the last days. This is what Jesus said. This is what He prophesies. But, Father, none of this thing will matter to us if we're not ready, if we're not prepared. So, Lord, let us be prepared. Let us be ready with all our families, with all those people that are around us. So when the time comes, when Jesus returns, we'll be ready to go with Jesus and to live for eternity. Lord, forgive our sins. In Jesus' most precious name, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.